just outside the perimeter, a little bit more outside the perimeter, and way the hell outside the perimeter for real, where we opened the roof and our goal.
No. I thought you were going to rhyme with roof.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like what you were going to say. I thought you were going to say like, and we're long in the tooth or something. I don't know. But it was.
Or
it was...
we had two big fat goofs.
That's not bad. I do have a backup. You want to try it again?
Okay.
Here we go.
No.
Or yeah, where Taylor dropped tortured poets and Atlanta continues to blow it.
That's better.
That's way better.
That's better. Yeah.
Considerably better.
we're going with that one. It is yes. The Five Takes podcast, and we are back.
We're back, baby.
Yay.
Like the Spice Girls, apparently. Anybody see this on David
yes,
Beckham's
that was
Instagram?
So funny. Okay, can we just talk for 1 second about how maybe Bex is maybe the best husband on the planet when it comes to
it's pretty good.
How much he loves his wife of now, what, 20 some odd years? Like,
be
25?
Honest.
Be honest.
Be honest.
Yeah. He is like the most loving dude ever. I love it. He carries her out piggyback because she's too fucking smashed to walk out. I love it.
Find you someone.
Fucking turn
yeah. Hashtag find couple somebody. Goals.
Yeah. Find Spice you somebody life. That loves you enough to carry you downstairs when you're smashed. I love it.
It sounds like him and Victoria had a better time than we did partying, celebrating her 50th, I believe, birthday
50th.
over in the UK, got the Spice Girls back together.
Yeah.
We were less spicy. Not so much.
No.
Hey, I got to see something. I got to see like the 15th century version of the Spice Girls tonight because I went to go see Six the Musical and it made my Tudor nerd soul so happy. I
don't even know what Six the Musical is. What is this?
It's basically if the six wives, if the six wives of Henry VIII got together and formed the Spice Girls in like a musical. So it's this like, you know, girl power girl group singing like, and they're all trying to compete to be the lead singer of this group until, you know, Catherine Parr sets them straight and says, nah, y'all, we're all badass bitches. We just need to have our story told. And, you know, honestly, they kind of do because they are six of the most fascinating women in Western history. And interestingly enough, from that time frame, like six women that we actually know something about because they married this giant asshole with a bleeding ulcered leg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's some that I'm less mad at you for being late to the pod now because that was entirely worth it.
Oh my God, it was awesome. It was so
that's
awesome.
That's interesting. That seems to be a popular
and for having technical difficulties. If you're watching the video version of this pod, you won't see Jennifer unfortunately tonight in all her glitter glory. She's having some video issues. But we do have a new face up there. It's Tommy.
Howdy.
Tommy from Scarves and Spikes. If you're listening to the audio voice version and you're wondering who that other sultry voice is, that's what's going on there.
It's Tommy. Tommy. Hey, Tommy,
how's
speaking of spicy, is Skyline chili spicy?
Yeah, so Tommy is, like myself, even though I don't like
gross.
To broadcast it, another Ohioan. We both know this.
Jennifer, did you hear him? He said it was gross.
What is wrong with you people? How can you live in Ohio and not enjoy the Skyline chili?
I think it's one of those things. Like sometimes people from LA get tired of or just straight up don't like In-N-Out. I think it's just because they live there.
I don't like In-N-Out.
True.
I think In-N-Out is an overhyped disaster trash. Yeah. But I'll get in fights with people about Whataburger. So here we are.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's all normal food and different takes on it. Nobody should be putting chili on wet spaghetti.
Chili.
See, I'm Italian, so I want spaghetti sauce. I don't want chili.
Oh
yeah.
Chili,
what are you doing?
I love me if I love.
That's like
me
a chili. It's like chili mac
that,
from.
That
is it like the chili mac from Steak and Shake?
Yes.
Is that? Oh.
Yes.
See, that, I think given the right amount of alcohol that you need to then sober up from a chili mac can work. I've had
my
it before.
God. I would rather eat chili on pasta than rice. Does that make me a lunatic?
Chili on rice.
This is no.
What?
That would give you so much heartburn.
This is the Jeff. This is the Jeff Goldblum quote from Jurassic Park. They were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
About whether or not they should. Yeah.
It's unnecessary. But anyhow, Tommy, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. How long have you been in Ohio?
My whole life.
Okay.
How are you? How are you a United fan.
Yeah, how'd you get into United then?
So my best friend,
because Ohio doesn't win shit.
Oh,
well, that's true. There was no team here, but right. my friend growing up was a huge Falcons fan. He had a ton of family here in Atlanta. Well, then I got into the Falcons. That's how that's how I got into the city. Like, that's kind of what like got me in. Wow. And then I came to visit one year when the Benz opened and saw the Atlanta United flags and said, next time we come back, let's check a game out.
There you go.
And I think like immediately once I hit the Gulch before the game, like the, the OG Gulch, I was like,
yeah, sure.
this is like a family. And like, I like this. Oh, and I met people. And then, you know, flash forward a couple of years later, I meet Glenn randomly at a Cincinnati game.
At a Cincinnati game.
That's how we met.
Chowing down on some Skyline.
Wow.
So you do eat it. You're willing to admit this now. You were at a Cincinnati game eating Skyline chili.
No. We were not eating Skyline chili. I was being facetious. Oh, my word.
Oh, man.
If only we could see Jennifer's face tonight.
Yeah, it's still wearing yesterday's glitter and tonight's makeup on top of yesterday's glitter.
You know, I get it, though. Some people just truly don't want to embrace. It's not that they reject it, but they don't want to necessarily embrace some of the things that their city or home state or even the entire fucking region are known for. Because I've basically grown up here and there are certain things that have to do with being in the South or from the South that I just straight up will not do or don't like or anything like that. I'm including the heat, by the way. I fucking hate the goddamn Georgia heat.
That's fine, but just in Ohio, there's just nothing to embrace.
There's just me.
Just Tommy.
Everyone, next time you see him, give Tommy a hug. Embrace him, because he's the worthwhile thing from Ohio that's worth embracing.
There you go.
Yeah, some
there
days.
You go.
It was more worthwhile than what we saw yesterday. Not a whole lot to embrace, to be positive about.
It's interesting because the week before we were finding positive things even in the negative moments.
I talked about that for a second where I was, it was kind of concerned, like, don't let this snowball.
Yeah.
We had a moment to really like, my goodness, our depth kept a clean sheet. Okay. This feels different. And then it happened and we said, okay, but that weird fluky goals, Philadelphia, let's just write that off. And here we are. Weird fluky goals again.
But like, they weren't just
bad. That's the difference. They were not weird, fluky goals.
Okay, these were bad.
They were bad giveaways. They were bad mental mistakes. There is a vast gulf of difference between a worldie from Kai Wagner, right? And Lucho running roughshod over on top of us.
Oh, it wasn't just like, did you see the one that's, was it, it's not a throw in, it's the free kick that was...
Off the corner kick?
The corner?
No, I guess it was. But it's literally two of their guys, not just one guy unmarked, not just Lucho unmarked out in the middle of nowhere. Two people timed it so well, and both of our entire back line turned off so completely that they didn't just have one guy free and unmarked, but two. And that's just 100%, 1,000% unacceptable. And they better be running, that whole back line better be running laps. Everybody be so fucking dog ass tired from running laps for that. And that was my first thought when you were talking about how Pineda may have been angry. That was what I was talking about.
He was more angry because it was a set piece that they had worked on and trained. And he said so. He said in his post-game presser, that was a set piece they had trained that they just flat out beefed on.
Yeah,
like literally someone.
It wasn't the time to do it.
And it wasn't the time to do it. And there was a whole bunch of that sequence, the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half that were just haywire wrong. And, you know, it was minutes inside of that time frame. And there was nothing we could. So there's just not any hope to take from that other than. You know, whereas, Philly, we knew we were setting ourselves up for failure with Philly. We know Philly plays a style we don't line up well against. That's not the same case with Cincinnati. And Cincinnati hasn't been as good of a form as Philly had been. Cincinnati had been vulnerable. I also want to know what the hell Cincinnati is doing in their locker room. And I'm going to completely blame Matt Miazga on this, because Miles was never, and I mean never, a student of the dark arts before he went to Cincinnati. And now all of a sudden he's like some master dark arts wizard. What's up with that?
Well, and I know that you guys were at the match, so you weren't listening to the commentary, but they decided last night, I'm not sure why, maybe Glenn, you could tell me, or maybe Jack might even know if we could ask Jack later on, why they picked last night to implement the new rules. And the one in particular was the one where if a player is down on the pitch for more than 15 seconds, they have to come off for 2 minutes.
Yeah,
it's essentially what equates to a hockey penalty kill. And I'm like, 2 minutes? I mean, shit, in soccer, that's a fucking lifetime, because a goal,
I think it's too much,
can get scored in less than 10 seconds. No, yeah. I would have said 30 seconds, maybe 1 minute. But
yeah,
two is
egregious.
Two is, and that's, I don't necessarily foresee that particular rule lasting.
Especially for a player that, you know, and we'll hate this because it will happen to us, where a defender goes in, makes a brilliant tackle, gets hurt, legit hurt in the process, and is then punished for doing a really good thing.
So here's a really interesting thing, because that exact scenario did happen, and in two different ways. That was what was really interesting if you guys rewatched it. So in the first one where they decided to, you know, enforce it, Miles went down and so did another guy. Mm-hmm. And the other guy immediately came off because he was like, I'm injured.
Yeah.
He said, I'm injured. I can't come back on. But Miles had to go off. And that was right before halftime. So it was like he had to, you know, and that was when they started talking about it, because it's
not
a
that
very,
we capitalized on it or anything.
No, but we could have, and other teams will.
It will, you know? It will happen.
I don't disagree that sitting down, flopping, being part of the dark arts, get rid of that. I'm all for that. Making a player come off and be off for an extended period more than just, okay, bring them back on as the ref does. Having it be a set amount of time, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't hate that rule. 2 minutes is a long time, especially when what they were then about to do, because Miles was defending, and in the process, we gained a corner from it. Now you're down a guy, and this is going to happen to us. That's the thing. It didn't last night, but this will be something we have to contend with. So now, flash forward to the second half, it happens again. And this time, it's two Cincinnati players going up for the ball. One is, again, Miles, and the other is somebody else. Now, we had advantage. This is where it gets a little crazy, because we had advantage. So as we were playing out of the back, the referee stopped it because it was a head injury. It was head-on-head, right? One of the guys immediately pops back up. The other guy, which was Miles, stays down. Now, this time, it's not, he doesn't have to come out for the 2 minutes because it's concussion protocol. So now they're allowed to bring the physios out. They sit down on the pitch. They check him over and make sure that there's no head injury. And then guess what? He's allowed to stand back up and continue on. Absolutely nothing. He doesn't have to come off. If the physio says he's fine, he can continue. So what's going to happen now is people are going to fake head injuries because they know they're not going to get fucking penalized.
That was exactly
it's so easy to see that that's
there's
what's going to happen.
There's going to be a lot of adjustment.
They're like, oh, my head, I'm hurt.
There's going to be a lot of adjustment with it. It's well-intentioned. There's a lot of nuance. There's not an easy way to solve it, to just automatically know, is this guy really hurt?
But people that were willing to dive and do the dark arting before, they're just going to come up with a new way to
do
it. And they've just handed it to them. They've just said, here you go.
Well,
do what Miles Robinson
actually
did, and you'll be fine.
That's what Jason Longshore said on the post game last night was, you know, just knowing Miles is as a person, like none of us would suspect him, but like, this is, you know, what do you do with it? And there wasn't anything that people saw in the contact we didn't see it. I just remembered the two guys laying on the ground because it
wasn't
head
to head. That's
whatever,
what it looked like. But that
it didn't look like, from the booth, it did not look like there was head contact in any way. And that was why Jason Longshore was questioning it.
Right. His butt hit his head.
Yeah.
So it just didn't look like there was anything to it. And that's why it was suggested that, you know, maybe it was dark arting.
But I just rewatched the Acosta goal, by the way. It's so
But my thing, bad. What you said really hit the nail on the head is it's a momentum. Like what it can be in its disfavor is an absolute momentum killer.
Yeah.
Right.
Which they're trying
to have momentum possession, you're playing advantage, you're getting this pulled back because of to pull somebody off the pitch to give you more advantage.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they were already calling it back because it's a head injury, but it's not though. Because if you go and you go back and look at it, his head didn't hit anything. So it's just really.
It was just frustrating. It was extremely. It was one more frustrating.
And I hope that they get better at implementing it because that was bad. And it's gonna people. There are going to be.
It's like any.
There are
going to
be the Philadelphias that are going to exploit it.
But it's like any new rule. It's going to evolve. It's going to improve. There's going to be unintended consequences.
Right.
This is one of them. You're absolutely right. And we all kind of knew that was going to happen. And lo and behold, we saw it the first weekend.
Right.
And
for me, it's like, that's kind of like, I don't know.
Well,
it's like a
it's
sixth,
not us
it's like
that
a
were the guinea
pig.
Pigs. It was
everybody. It was implemented across MLS last night.
I was more saying it's like usually when there's something new, wild or woolly involved, like it's definitely involving Atlanta.
Yeah, we
are. No, we're just that lucky. Yeah,
fortunately, none of those moments cost us the game. That was our own.
No, that was our own fault.
By our own hand.
Yeah.
All that being said, do we have a low-key man of the match? Low-key man of the match picks?
Yeah, we do. But before we do that, we got to thank somebody.
I was going to say, speaking of hands, I know
That's a terrible segue.
I had to do something, dude. We were grasping. We were swimming through molasses. I had to do something.
Yeah, you were grasping.
Is this the chiropractor?
Those hands.
Yeah.
Chiropractor read?
That's the chiropractor. That's the chiropractor segue.
I had a chiropractor save my life this week.
Usually Glenn's a little better at it.
See? More advocates for chiropractic care. I'm sure that you don't make the drive down to Decatur, Georgia for your chiropractor, but, you know.
Someone with back pain is... But, I've been dealing with it for years, and going to the chiropractor, you know, people try to send you to therapy for, like, months. That doesn't help. Get the chiropractor. They'll help you teach you stuff and maybe get I don't know if they have massages too, but I usually get one after
Mason
that.
Mason Mill has a massage merchant therapeutics that's right next door to their office, and they actually do work in tandem, and that works really well, chiropractic and soft tissue massage. It's really important, especially if you have back pain. My God, brother, I feel you on that. Getting old, not one of God's better ideas. Sorry, God, you kind of dropped the ball there. I feel like he could have come up with something better there. But at least he created Mason Mill. I don't know on which day God created Mason Mill, but he did good work in making them. Give him a call, 404-321-0082. You can find him on the web too, masonmillchiro.com. They are the best chiropractor in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's very important for your health. They will take very good care of you. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Saturday hours are clutch, by the way.
For people who
if you're
work
working that Monday through Friday job, you can get in on a Saturday, and that's huge for any medical stuff.
What's really good too is as much as they prefer you to make appointment offices prefer, they would love it for you to make appointments because that way it kind of holds yourself to it. You know, you have an appointment, you try to stick to it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't and you find yourself, hey, I've got about 45 free minutes. That's about all you need for a regular chiropractic appointment. Just give them a call. Like, hey, I'm going to be passing by there for a few minutes. I've got a couple extra,
really
a little bit of extra time, and you can pop on in, and 99 times out of 100, 999 times out of 1,000, they will be able to take you. It happens for me almost weekly because my schedule is so higgledy-piggledy that I call them and I just say, hey, can I pop in about 15 minutes? And they're like, yeah, come
There's
on in.
There's a phrase that's not used enough.
I know. I try to throw one in there every now and then. I really like cattywampus. Jennifer, you're going to have to help me with that one because I know you like cattywampus too.
I got you, cattywampus.
All right. Wah, see?
This whole pod's going cattywampus. Let's move on to low-key.
Well, hold on. Cat, so what you say is that he adjusts to your schedule.
Yes. That's good.
Oh!
See?
I see what you
Glenn,
did
he's
there.
A man of your own heart. There he is. Here.
Fits right in like
a
glove.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Speaking of gloves, have the Braves won or have we lost?
No, 6-4, Texas. But we still won the series. It was still a 3-game series, and Atlanta still took the series. So they're still right now with the best record in baseball. They're like 15-6.
Very familiar. Mm-hmm. Every year.
Come at me in October. Come at me in October.
I know. That's what I tell him. I know.
All right. Low-key man of the match. Well, I'll go first, if you don't
wait,
mind.
Wait, Tommy, are you familiar with our low-key man of the match concept? Because this is kind of new for us. Basically, we know people pick up the radio people, they pick a man of the match.
And it's always usually pretty easy. You know,
yeah, it's usually Goldor.
And it's always Saba.
Yeah. Was it Saba? Was it Saba?
It was Saba again this time. And then someone gets the gold spike of excellence. But we like to talk about the difference makers that
the
don't necessarily
heroes.
Show up.
Unsung heroes. Underappreciated.
Yeah. Underappreciated. And this week it was not Brooks Lennon.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. Well, he didn't have a great game.
Well, Jennifer, who was it? You go first. Go first, Jennifer. Who's your low key?
Oh, man. I really struggled with this one because I was back and forth. You know, where I was sitting at the front of 102, like, I just had a great view of all the really quality work that Luisa Brown put in. And I mean, he and Cobb in the first half both individually saved two goals.
Yeah. They did.
And Abram, mm-hmm. I think, really for a lot of people has come out of nowhere. I don't know why people don't. He plays for a decent national team in Peru. Peru is not a chumpy, it's not Thailand or someplace random. Like, they've got a good squad, and he is a regular in that side. He's a good player. The fact that he's number four on the depth chart right now is really more the surprising quality of Derek Williams and the surprising quality of Noah Cobb. Right. So I struggled between him and Mosquera, and now I'm back giving it to Abram because I think Mosquera just made that one mistake that I can't really give it to him. But Mosquera has been the only guy to actually create anything off the left wing so far this entire season, for the most part. So,
no, you're right. I mean, we've become extremely, I don't want to say predictable, but we've started to lean on and rely on the right side because it actually has been extremely effective. So
Silva hasn't been great.
No, but it's not Silva's just
hair. But you see his hair?
No, it's very good. Silva. It's not just Silva because it's the combination of like when it was Gregerson, it was Gregerson to Brooks, Brooks to Saba, Saba in. Those connections on the right have been working so well and had been so effective. We just haven't figured out the right combination on the left side yet. So, yeah, I don't disagree with Mosquera doing what he can over there, but unfortunately, it's just still not producing as much.
Can I ask Jennifer a quick question about it being
Abram?
No, about it being Mosquera. For her. Is this an A for effort type deal?
Yes.
Because he just didn't connect on anything. Loved a lot of chances, but you're appreciating that he tried.
I'm appreciating that he is trying to create in a place where no one else has picked up the lead and tried to create on that side.
That's valid.
All right, fair enough.
What do you got, Glenn?
The post.
That's a good one.
That's not fair. Now we're just going to start picking random inanimate objects.
No, it's absolutely fair. I just didn't think that anyone.
Mine's
really
the ball.
Truly,
it just didn't go in.
No, I just didn't think anyone really truly deserved it tonight. I really didn't. And the post saved our ass twice.
Yeah, because you're saying it could have been. So, it could have been four.
I'm going post.
Could have been 4-1.
I'm going post. Tommy.
Sleesh.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Sleesh.
You're not alone in
that.
When
it comes down to work rate alone, just somebody who's he just continues to be all over the goddamn pitch. You know, he's doing the best he can to create him and Mayumba. Honestly,
Austin's are great too.
That was my second one. Was Mayumba?
I'm going to murder this pronunciation, but Austin Brother on Twitter.
Austin Brother.
What's the reference there? What am I missing? Why am I looking like an idiot? What is it?
It's Aussie and something or other. But
okay,
Aussie
and brother. Sure. Yeah. Also went Bartok. So
Yeah. No, I just based on the fact that the guy never stops running at all. So if you want to pick out any one thing, whether it was just the fact that his work rate is higher than anybody else's. And it just seems like a lot of people turned off last night. He never did.
Okay. Who you got?
That's it. I'm agreeing with Tommy.
Oh, you're going Bartok as well?
Bartok,
oh,
okay. that was mine. I was going to say
I know
the
who
entire time. That was that was immediately what I said that last night.
I know who Cincy's low-key man of the match was.
Miles.
No.
Miles could be man of the match for them. He was tremendous.
No, no, it's the Atlanta Falcons and the fact that there were all the Atlanta Falcons.
Cernus Kirko chains came out.
That is why we lost. We're just going to blame that. So the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay, wait. He was at the Braves game tonight, too. Oh, my God. Okay, if the Falcons have another losing season, we know why.
Everything they touch goes to crap.
Turns to shit.
Turns to ash in our mouths. All right.
That's why you said that, Tommy. I'm sorry. That's why when you said you were a Falcons fan, I'm like, I'm sorry, because nothing about that is good.
No,
it's just not.
I saw a post on Facebook and someone blamed Rich McKay of the Falcons of this situation, and I thought it was a joke. But then, like when I responded back, they responded back like very violently, and I was like, oh, this is a legit thing. Okay,
yes, wow. Yes, very much so. I'm sure
we got a couple strong responses on some things that we'll go through tonight. It's worth, and I might not get the reference on this screen name or not screen names. We're not in AOL. It's Messenger days. I guess it's tags now or handles.
Yeah, sure.
Is
handles.
What we go with.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm dating myself. My
or,
lord.
Or call signs if you're a pilot.
110 MRSR, Mr. Senior.
Sure. He's 110 years old.
110
he's a Mr.
Senior.
He's a Mr. Senior.
He's a Mr. Senior.
He's a Mr.
That's what it
time.
Is. No, Moyamba.
Moyamba. Mm-hmm. William Ba for low key. Yeah. No problem with that. He's still
he and Bartos right there kind of doing.
I rewatched the broadcast and I double checked the stats that they were saying, and they're right. He leads the league in tackles one.
Wow.
Really?
That's excellent. That's a great
Ba leads the league in tackles one.
That's nice.
Okay.
Nice. How many
didn't
yellows
see that
does
coming.
He have? Because I don't even think he's got that many. Right?
No, that's what
no,
I mean.
It's
winning.
Low. Yeah.
He's winning them. Like, yeah. He's putting in hard tackles, and he's mm-hmm. they're not yellows. Like
and
he's
coming. He's coming okay. up with it. Yeah.
Okay. Here for that.
We
that's
see
great.
You. Yeah, we see you.
All right. That. So moving on from there, before we get into the takes themselves, and this might actually kind of take care of a lot of the takes, just the general discussion that people were having. As you might expect, a lot of it is on Pineda. And the Pineda out crowd, there are a few people out there that are just pretty much exclusively blaming Pineda, the coach. And I get it. Like, it comes down to the coach. Look, no matter what happens this season, fairly or not, if we don't have a top four finish, if we don't have a deep cup run and deep postseason run, he's not getting that option exercise. Like, he's not getting his contract renewed, fairly or not. But for me, I think if you're going to be on like just the Pineda out train and blowing up everybody's timeline with Pineda out, looking at you, Airborne DJ, I do appreciate the submissions in the Discord, but I just think it needs to be a little bit more than that. For what it's worth, Emilio Corsi also on the Pineda out train, but not really able to point to anything that he's doing wrong. Specifically, tactically, or whatever. It's just a vibe, a feeling. And I just think we've got to have more than vibes and feelings if we're going to make that dramatic of a change. I mean, it's frustrating to see these brain farts like we saw last year, week after week, the same
year
kind
before,
of mistakes.
Too.
Yeah. True.
I mean, yep. It's been, let's not pretend it's just been, you know, a little while here. It's been pretty much since Pineda's been around.
That's true. I mean, you're not wrong.
Tommy,
also
where do you sit on this? Are you team give him the year? Are you team he's dealing with adversity? Are you team, yeah, fuck this dude? Like, where are you at? Where are you at right now?
I'm like medium rare on getting rid of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's the last
I
year
order
of the
my steaks medium rare. So like if you're medium rare, does it have to be like served bleu for you to get him out, to get him the hell out of here? Or are you just like, yeah, he's almost cooked the way I like it, or no, he's not almost cooked the way I like it.
I think May is going to be a huge time for him to look, because I mean the schedule's packed. I think it's like eight matches in the month because of Open Cup and just the busy schedule that you have with MLS. But you know, if you coaches become available, good players come available in the summer, and coaches can become available too. And if the right guy is available, like, getting rid of Pineda and buying out his contract is like a low paid NFL player for Arthur Blank. Like, it's not a big deal if they get rid of him at the end of season. But like, also you have a situation where can you find, when's the perfect time to do that? And that could be like a League's Cup. Like, you could have an entire month, you know, if you get bounced from League's Cup, you have a long time to be able to bring someone on. But like, that's only if you have that guy in play. If not, just let the guy finish the season and just let him, you know, gracefully leave.
Makes sense.
I agree. I mean, what's killing us is like inconsistency, right? With player personnel lineup and performances. Do we really want to throw more inconsistency with changing coach midstream?
No, I don't think
that's going to make us markedly better.
I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to be willing. I don't think front office, I don't think Garth is going to be willing to do that. I think he's invested enough in Pineda, in these players. And he said, look, I wanted you guys to trust in me. I'm going to at least try to return the favor for the rest of this season. And he said, I've given you, and that way later on, it's kind of like plausible deniability. He can say, look, I gave you all these tools and you did nothing with it. So it's time to change things up. That's where I think it's going to happen. Like, I think Tommy's probably, I think he's probably dead on.
It's also tricky because you really open up these like maybe 1 to 2 year windows in MLS because of the way our salary structures are. Like, we know the likelihood of us hanging on to Thiago another year after this is slim to none.
Yeah.
Right. He wants to go to here. So we're going to win with Thiago, it has to happen this year. Mm-hmm. Right. We have a squad that everybody, not just us here in Atlanta, but a lot of people in the league think is capable of doing more. At what point in time do Garth and, for better or for worse, Boca say, okay, we got this window we have to capitalize on now. Right. Like, I think end of May is probably a really, we're going to know a lot more about where our destiny lies.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
By the end of May, because, and we're going to have to, because come June, we're going to lose people to international breaks and international duty and Euros and then the Olympics after that and Copa and whatever else. So like, we really have to get through May with a decent hold on a top four spot. Otherwise, yeah, I think Pineda's,
we may not get it back. Yeah, we may not have enough time to get it back.
We won't have the personnel to really make up the ground come the end of August.
Well, and Jennifer, you bring up a point like about Abram and why I don't think people like Abram or harder on him. One, he's got a high salary, which is a part of it. But two, like, your backup center back is going away on international duty every time as well. So like, your backups, you hope that are going to be available at all times because your better players are leaving. And that's not the situation with the Abram. You're having to go 3 or 4 or 4 and 5 deep when all these guys are gone.
Well, I do think it's a totally valid point, but I also don't think that they brought Abram in here to be a backup. I think Williams outplayed him. Noah Cobb outplayed him, which is shocking. You know, I think every intention, every like preseason lineup had Abram with Gregerson. Like, that's what we were looking at. And then Gregerson being the wild card as to whether or not he gets called up. He didn't get called up last window for Norway. But
and then Cobb has to come off, unfortunately. Like, our performance was so bad, he got a literal headache. Like, man, now our metaphors are becoming reality.
Is that what happened? Is that why
Cobb
came
off?
Yeah,
he said it was a migraine.
Because we did not. That was not apparent, at least not to the commentators when we were watching it. That was not made apparent at all. And actually, Glenn, that was one of the subs that I didn't agree with. If you think about our conversation last night,
but
well, that's what
necessary.
I'm saying. I'm like, he was doing so well.
He had no choice.
Combination was doing, and yeah, but again, didn't know that last night. So it's like, I'm like, I didn't agree with that one, and I didn't agree with like the Saba sub off, because not because I don't like Tyler Wolf, but because Saba was okay. You said that Mascara was the only one making anything happen down the right. Well, I felt the same thing about Saba. And
I didn't go down the right. I'm actually kind of down.
No, Jennifer
Mascara.
Said that. Yeah, Jennifer said that.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I'm like, he's one of the only. Like, I'm looking at it. He had 4 shots, 2 on target. Nobody else had anything.
I get it.
So I'm like, you're going to take the only person who's doing any kind of positive production. Now,
it's fair.
He didn't do anything to show for it. But, you know, the thing is, if somebody is at least hot, in that case, 4 shots, 2 on target, maybe the next one goes in. Don't take him off. And he it was only in the 86th minute. Why not just let him finish? You never know at that point. You're going to, and again, not that I don't like Tyler Wolf, but I mean, somebody else could have come off to have Wolf go on. Wolf is very versatile. He can play in lots of different places. Put him where Mascara was. Like, why are you going to take off Saba for?
No, it's
like,
fair.
I didn't understand it at all.
Of the things I think it's fair to question Pineda on, especially in this match, is the substitutions. That's a fair criticism, not just Pineda out. Like, you can point to something and say, hey, I disagree with it because of this. JW Kite thinks that leaving Muyamba on and having Dax instead of a Johnny might have been the way to go. We haven't seen much of Dax, which is a little bit surprising.
It's one of those senior presences that we've always said we were missing, like with Larry, you know, or Parky, you know. So yeah, I expected to see a lot more of Dax in the midfield.
I think you're a Dax fan. You want to see him?
No. When I found out Dax McCarty was coming to Atlanta, I was playing FIFA with Tyler, and I forgot. Like, he told me, and I didn't even process.
I remember this.
It was a fairly non-event. You were like, wait, we got McCarty?
What? Yeah, like,
you guys talking about this.
Why?
We had a little too many drinks, I think, that night. And then later, I get off FIFA, and I open the phone, and I go, holy crap, we got Dax McCarty. And I called him, and I'm like, why didn't you tell me this? And he's like, I did. And I'm like, I hate this guy. Like, I hated him because, like, he was good against us, right? And it's just, he had that face. He just looked like just like a dad that was, like, always on, you know,
punchable.
Didn't like anything you did. Like,
your face.
Yeah. He was like a disappointed dad, always just looking.
True.
Ozzie Alonso was supposed to be our closer.
He was. He was
for 2 years.
He was supposed to be the
And that got derailed.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's Dax's role, too. And we weren't at the point of closing.
But yeah, so Glenn, that was what I didn't feel like typing out in its entirety last night when I said anyway, more tomorrow. That Saba coming off was pretty much my biggest complaint. And then Cobb, because I didn't know he had a migraine, but I was like, he and Abram in the first half were doing great.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was involved in the Acosta. He was off at that point, right?
That was after half, yeah.
So it just, I mean, I've rewatched that three times since we've been sitting here. That one where Acosta scored, that's the one I'm referring to where the two players, both Cincinnati players, floated between our two guys, including one of them is Abram, and they just let him go.
No, that was Hernandez. That was Ronald.
Ronald, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. Ronald, so they're in front of Ronald,
and
but
not
behind
a center back.
Abram.
No.
Because we don't have
anybody else.
So here's
where I take issue with people in criticizing Pineda's decisions and subs.
Right.
There's nobody else. You have to be thoughtful about this stuff. You can't just be mad and then look and say, well, and then you find out, well, there's no other option. Okay. That's why. Pineda's not an idiot.
No,
you can have issues with some of his choices and for subs style. I don't really think so. He's playing the Atlanta United way.
So Ronald Hernandez is not a center back.
No.
So
hell no.
They had
Pineda
no
said
one
that
else.
In his post conference. Yeah,
they had no one else to bring in because when Pineda found out Cobb couldn't go in the second half, he had been in the locker room with the players. He had no idea what was going on in the physio room. They were coming out to go on the pitch. They were like, Noah Cobb can't go. Right. You're not going to pull a rookie center back in Efrain Morales, who's never been out for an MLS minute.
There was nothing else to do.
He had no choice.
He's our fourth choice center back, for the love of God. Yeah. This isn't some brilliant tactical move by Pineda.
Now, I will say the tactical shift that I will fault him on is knowing that we have this habit of scoring a goal and then stop paying attention to the match for however long until the other team catches up. Like, we've been doing that for the last couple of years. We can all agree on that.
You don't like when the subs came on.
Correct. So it's like, oh, we scored the goal. Great. Let me immediately sub. And I've noticed this over the last few matches.
But that's not what happened.
That is what happened.
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not. The subs were standing there for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
For 3 minutes, and then we scored. What are you going to do? Hey, boys, sit back down for another 10. No, you've already prepared the subs. You've handed the card. And then you happen to score.
2 weeks
in
a row.
There's nothing you can do about that. The subs are ready. They're ready to go. They've been standing there for 3 minutes. We scored in the 59th. They got on and get past the info to the fourth official in the 56th.
I mean, you can tell them to go sit back down.
That's not going to happen.
You can.
And you're bringing on your number nine. There's no issue with that.
No, I didn't think. The no, only, I the don't only have one I think you can question is on. It was the people that went off. Johnny. It was more difficult.
But I think I know why. Because Johnny's a little more attack-minded. Mm-hmm. And Dax is a little more, let's lock this down and get out of here. And we're not a 1-0 win team. No. We're just not. We're going to chase that second goal. And that's the only reason I can think. Mm-hmm. Now, it might have worked out differently. It might have worked out better. But as far as the timing of it goes, it's just unfortunate timing. This wasn't Pineda going, hey, we scored. Now's a great time. Let's change it up.
But I think making those subs tactically led to the second goal because we had no rhythm, no form, no, like it was very disjointed momentum wise. And maybe it would be a thing where I would say, you know, if he does he have the ability to pull him back? He could pull him back, right?
He could. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, but I think
you absolutely can. You can change
more than anything, what led to that second goal was the first. We just got rocked. We just got rattled. That was a horrible corner kick. Terrible from Thiago, who had just had a moment of brilliance.
It was
pretty good in this game. Shot creation and chances and movement on the ball. It looked very Thiago-like.
We had 60 minutes of decent.
And then we collapsed after a first goal. Yeah. Same thing happened last week where we just gave up like this fluky goal and then they hit us again within a few minutes time. It's like we can't get out of our own heads. I don't think that has to do with the subs. I think we do that to ourselves. We get scored on, and then we kind of just lose our heads for about 5 minutes. And there's that brief window where teams know it, and they know we're vulnerable.
And that's the thing. And if it's now been twice in a row where we've been in the process of bringing subs on.
But it's like, not the subs.
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it's the timing, though. They're explaining the fact that because we've just made subs, we are out of rhythm.
We could have made the subs 20 minutes later. We still would give up goals 1 minute and then 3 minutes. It's the timing of it. Like that goal, there's a window. What I'm saying is what I've seen is we get scored on, and then for about 5 minutes after we get scored on, we're just like out of sorts. No matter who's on the pitch.
Right. So
it hasn't been that bad, though, this year. Yeah, it hasn't been that bad until last week.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
So Jennifer's just saying that I'm not speaking for her, but I think what she's also kind of getting at is that so knowing that, if you've been able to observe it, then odds are Pineda has too, that when we score for the 5 minutes after that, we get a little
No, not when we score. When we get scored on, that's what I'm saying, guys. You're misunderstanding me.
I guess
when we get scored on, there's 5 minutes after we get scored on where we're just switched off for some reason.
Right. But if you got to look at the timeline of it, we scored in 59. We did the sub changeover at 60. They scored at 62. You see what I'm saying?
But that goal, that comes from a player who was already on. That comes from Thiago. Nothing to do with the subs. Nothing. Mm-hmm. That's from Thiago. It had nothing to do with the subs.
Yeah, in this situation, I think you're right. Like, I mean, it was all just downhill.
But everything changed tactically when you bring.
There's nothing tactical about Thiago slow rolling a ball out to a set piece that they've worked on to Brooks when the league's MVP is in the way.
Yeah.
There's nothing tactical there. It's not the subs. It's not that they rehearsed. Thiago made a bad choice, and it happened to come at a bad time.
Right.
It happened to come when the subs were made, but none of the changes were involved in that. But it happened last week, and it happened all last year. We get scored on in bunches, like close together, because we just kind of lose our minds. It's like, oh, we get scored, and then we just can't get reset and get going. I don't know why.
Well, and
I don't know what you do on the training ground to fix it.
The pure fact that you just brought on three brand new players has nothing to do with it.
Correct.
I don't agree, and neither does Jennifer.
So how did the three players lead to the first goal?
They didn't lead to it. What you're saying
okay,
is bring
so
on.
That takes that out.
No.
How did they lead to the second goal?
Because the three players that just came on, Gigi excluded,
we're
still trying to figure out where the heck they were, you know, where the game state was.
That's what I'm saying.
We're not able to be as in sync or responsive defensively to bail us out when we needed it. Because they had no rhythm in the game yet.
They just came on. They had just come on.
But you can't predict
I understand
that.
What you're both saying.
Oh,
as,
the,
as the third party here, I could see what you're both saying. But I think Glenn's saying is just because the play itself was a corner, there was only a couple of them involved. So it didn't really have to do with that, with the subs, because of that, what the play was.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't make the subs after we got scored.
I know.
So you can't possibly predict that.
Of course you can't.
No, you can't when the team
scores. I said, of course not. I said, of course you can't. Of course you can't.
Oh, silly.
No, we're not. We have our opinion. Don't tell us that we're silly because we have an opinion.
Opinions are fine, but you have to back it up.
And I did.
It doesn't make sense.
To you, it doesn't. But to me and Jennifer, it does. That doesn't mean
the
we're
subs
wrong.
Weren't involved
you're
in the
tiny,
first.
You're, no, no, we didn't. No, we the subs. Were, I'm just saying the timing.
Let's
of
move
the
on.
Timing.
Let's move on.
No, I'm interested.
I think last week your argument, Kat and Jennifer, is more appropriate.
You're not interested, Glenn. No, I am. You're just telling us that we're wrong.
Here's
and
my argument last week. I don't even remember it anymore.
The subs.
That's not working.
We made subs and the timing is out of control.
So you're saying it's coincidental?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was. The subs were already coming on. Thiago makes a brain fart of brain fart moments on a historic level.
Right.
And we get scored on.
Right.
And then what happens time and time again, no matter who's on the pitch, no matter if the guys have been there for 60 minutes or 5 minutes, everybody switches off. Everybody in that moment, because getting scored on does something to our brain.
Okay, y'all. Tommy said he listened to me last week and I said something that I don't remember. What did I say last week that you agree with?
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, your argument, like, if you were using it for last week, I think is a little bit more appropriate because when the players came in, it was a little bit more, those were open play games. It did look like, I mean, you put Nick Firmino in at the nine, which was a weird situation. There was a lot of weird things. I thought that the sub situations last week were a disaster. That was probably the thing that upset me the most. But in this situation, you know, that was a fluky play. And remember, this play happened 2 years ago. Yep. I think it was George Campbell was involved in the play, and it was a real bad corner, and it was like a 2-on-0 at the bend, and they just scored on Brad. It was like the saddest thing, and like I immediately had like I was like, oh man, this happened before.
And I'm not saying I want to be clear about something. I'm not saying that the subs coming on are a reflection of Pineda. What I'm saying, if anything, is that I think that the subs coming on when they did contributed to the out of sortsness that led to maybe not the first goal, but maybe the second, you know, because I do agree with you that when we get scored on, we do get out of sorts. And I think having three new players coming onto the pitch, and again, I don't disagree that it is coincidental, but I think that is just, it's just
that's
a fact.
My only point.
It's just a fact at this point.
I'm going to bring
something that also happened in that 3 minutes.
I want to bring this conversation full circle to a take because this is something like we haven't really talked about. Like, I mean,
we haven't read
which one is it?
I want to bring this to take three, which is once again, we took far too long to get going.
True.
Today, it took us an entire half.
Yep.
Teams are figuring out that we don't seem to be switched on at the start. It's a simple thing and it's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ties completely to this discombobulation that we have consistently after goal scoring.
Sure.
It is two parts of the same problem. It's concentration and focus.
It's really interesting too, because I was watching the Liverpool match and not trying to draw comparisons from Liverpool to Atlanta United,
That's just not playing fair.
Come on, hold on. What I'm talking about, what the commentators had to say about scoring first, okay, and scoring early. For us, if we can score first, it tends, at least it did for a while, it tends to play in our favor. It tends to play in any team's favor that scores first because it can settle you down. It can change the tactics on how you play moving forward or how you sit back. It changes everything when you score first. And so many times last year, we were getting scored on first and would have to come back. Remember, we were the comeback kings in the last 10 minutes of the game when we did it. That doesn't seem to be the case for us this season. We're not, look at what happened. Just us scoring discombobulated us, or maybe again, that's coincidental, but it all happens in 6 minutes. It all happens in 59, the we score. 60, the subs come on. 62, they score. 64, they score again. It all happened in 6 minutes. So the discombobulation of all of the different factors, it, apparently, we can't handle. And it, that's becoming a trend. And that's the problem. How do we get... Well,
I don't know.
How do you get combobulated?
I don't know how we sort that out.
That was for you, Jennifer.
For what it's worth, and this is a much better handle, Trizzle McDizzle also confused Trizzle McDizzle why it takes us so long to get going and not be switched on. I think he's probably equally confused about these little moments, like Pineda likes to say, and I know everyone's frustrated and tired of hearing that, but it's not wrong. They are these killer moments that keep killing us. I don't know. I don't know what you do on the training ground to improve that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure having our preferred starting 11 out there, especially somebody like a Derek Williams that's got the soccer IQ, that's quick, and I don't mean speedy.
Yeah.
Like, just up quick here with his reactions and time. Yeah, like chess step ahead, you know, is communicating as well with everybody.
Yeah, he's been a very
massive, and
he's been a very, very large missing presence just the last couple of games.
You know, I can't wait to come back. It isn't FIFA. It's not like for like, you can't just sub somebody in and it's similar numbers and they're going to perform the exact same way. So I don't know what more there, you can do to fix that.
There's no one person with the controller in hand either, because a lot of that FIFA comes down to who's
the one thing that does frustrate me with Pineda, and it's number one is, it seems like our inability to adapt to situations. And Pineda, I think, mentioned this in his press conference, that they did some things tactically that, you know, gave us trouble.
He says it every time. How many times are we going to hear him say that?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe you shouldn't admit that things confuse you so much. Like, if I'm going to my job and I keep screwing up, and it's just going to be like, I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't care. Like, whatever. Quit admitting that.
We've talked about that. We've talked about that a couple times, that when he does his press conferences, he is he's a broken record a little bit. And we're like, dude, you can't keep using that.
You're the coach. We're done hearing that. Predict, anticipate those challenges that might come. Maybe Cincy, in honor of 420 Day, wants to play high, much like Red Bulls, high line and high counter press and counter pressures. Yeah. And you don't have a contingency plan in place. I'm sure it is difficult to get a message out to the players, but baseball has signals. Like,
Nagby had notes.
Well, every time,
pass a note along, write it on a little piece of paper,
and you swallow it. You can get Nagby on a shoe phone.
Well, a player goes down, a player sits down on the pitch, like when Miles sits down, bring over one of your players and say, hey, this fucking shit's not working. Change it. Do this
something
instead.
You got to do something. And to just, you're right, it is kind of cringy when you hear the coach say, they confused us. Oh, come on, man.
We're not confused.
It shouldn't be that confusing. We should be able to adapt better
room. And like, here's the other thing too. And here's the other thing. Do your fucking research. Like, we know what Red Bulls are like. We know how Cincy likes to play. You had a whole fucking season last year. I know they
Cincy
were injury
played a little different. That's what he's saying. I'm saying Cincy played very Red Bull like. He's saying that's what confused him. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Right.
Okay.
But we've played Red Bulls enough. We played all these different styles. Like, we should be able to go recognize mid-game. Oh, hey.
Well, and
line. Let's do this and let's be ready for this. Not go to the press conference at the end of the game going,
us. Yeah, it's like, okay, so they're like, okay, we've got, you know, they sit down and they have their weekly coaches meeting. They say, okay, guys, we've got Cincinnati next week. It's like, okay, so how are we going to attack this? You know, tactically.
And
okay.
I'm sure they did
it's
that.
It's like, so they're injury ridden. They're probably not going to play exactly the same as they have been. Okay, cool. What if they do?
Well, they're not. Since he's fine, they're not injury ridden.
No, they had a couple people out. It was they talked about it.
It was just their keeper, I think, was their main guy that was out.
Yeah, yeah, Santano, comparatively speaking to us.
Inadequate backup. I mean, like if your backup is Alec Khan, you're in pretty good shape.
Right. I'm just saying, you had time and you have staff and you have the ability. You're the coach. You're not supposed to get.
Yeah, this is
you're
where
not
my
supposed
criticism
to get confused more than one game.
You should be able to, if they throw a curveball at you, you should be able to have a good swing at that.
Right. And that's
you really should.
Right. What and I like do? Glenn, so that's a perfect, that's a,
is that's that a, fair is to that criticize a, him over.
Right. That's I'm a, good a with that. Fair criticism of Pineda.
Yeah.
Out.
Well, and Tommy pointed out something interesting before we started recording about something else that Pineda said that was pretty surprising to hear. You want to jump in on that while we're still beating up on Pineda?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the quote was something on the lines of, I think you're giving too much credit today to the coaches. I think that once the ball starts to roll, it's all on the players, the good and the bad. I think it's all on them.
Right.
And there's more to it, but like, it's all on them. I missed that line there. Like,
So were the players confused or were the coaches confused?
It's not something he usually says.
No, that's what's weird. Like,
he
normally
takes the blame usually.
Yeah, he does.
To his credit, you know, credit where it's due. He usually is the guy that will take those arrows in the back, and good on you for doing that. I don't think he's entirely wrong. It is a player's game, but yeah, we've never seen him take that kind of defensive posture before. That's new. Wonder if that's
going to
continue.
I think he did a little bit, I think right before when they bounced out of League's Cup. Like, he was real frustrated at that point. I think after they got eliminated in penalties, he seemed a little bit more frustrated. But yeah, you're right. This is the most I've seen him frustrated, because I think some of these other losses all have stories to them. And, you know, some type of story, like opening day against the champs, half your team's gone, half your team's injured. But like this loss, like, you've had most of these players available for the past couple weeks. You knew what you had. And just like the last time they played Cincinnati in Atlanta, same thing. We scored first. It was still a track meet, and we lost a track meet.
I think it's kind of telling, because I mean, I would be frustrated if I saw that corner as well. You know, what am I supposed to do as a coach? Like, yeah, we practiced this. We were going to try this little off the training ground thing, but not then.
Yeah. Yeah. why do it then? Like, I mean, I guess you're just trying to create something out of nothing, I guess, when you don't have all the weapons that you want to have, but don't do it at the detriment. Clearly,
it wasn't the right time to do that.
You know, look, I think I don't want to, you know, yes, we still, you know, we weren't getting Gigi for 90. We weren't getting John De Silva for 90. We still don't have most of our defense in any sort of semblance of functionality, but you know, at some point in time, you know, this team, we all have said for the last 4 months, is a lot deeper than we've had access to in a long time. We should be able to count on the depth to get the job done at times, right? That is what their job is. And I'm not mad at Pineda actually saying to some of these players, you need to be better. We demand more. You've been given these opportunities. You have not stepped up to take advantage of them. I think last week, you could say people were playing above their pay grade. And this week, they were playing below their pay grade. That's the difference here. That's what I see. And I don't mind Pineda calling that out. I actually think it's a good thing. That's a sign of maturity, that he's not scared about what's going to happen if he says,
maybe that will be a bit of a message to the locker room. Like, hey, yeah, I'm your coach, but I'm not going to just roll over and take the hits for everybody. If players don't perform to the level, we're going to talk about that. I'm not throwing you under the bus. And I don't think he did.
No,
he's not that type of guy. He's not, you know, Mourinho, like he's not going to do that. But I think I'm kind of okay with it too. I hope it leads to something positive, but we'll see. I'll raise my hand on number four and say that I got something dead ass wrong. I thought there would be more communication errors in the back. I really did, with Celentano not there, and Alec Khan. We knew him to be a good shot stopper, and he did. Bloody hell. But I just thought there would be more to exploit there, and they just didn't really. I guess I underestimated that. And the pairing with Miazga and Miles, they just didn't put a foot wrong, really, defensively. They looked like we did prior to now with our first choice in there. So I just want to say that I got that totally, totally wrong. There was nothing to exploit, nothing.
There were quite a few of the Saba attempts, the Saba crosses that Miles just got in the way.
We forgot how fast he is.
He did last night what he used to do for us. He's an excellent back. And he's just very, very, very good
at it. Is there a better man marker defenseman in the league?
Ooh, maybe not.
There might not be. Man to man.
Man to man.
Man to man. Because he had Saba's number all night long. All night long.
Yeah. And that makes sense too. I mean, he knows the team.
Yeah.
We should literally maybe I should have anticipated.
I'm a little bit bitter about that. I know why. I'm not gonna say anything about the man. I'm saying I'm a little bit bitter that he was playing for them and not for us. That if he's still gonna be in MLS, I wish he was still with us. He got his 1 year contract. I wish we'd offered him one. You know?
We did.
I'm a little bit jealous.
Well, we didn't offer him a 1 year.
So I'm a little bit jealous that yet again we lost an you know a great player to a fucking Ohio team. So it's tough. You know, I'm a little bit bitter about it. A little bit jealous that they had him and we didn't. Now he may not stay there, but we didn't have him last night, and it's you know it's frustrating.
I was happy he got a decent reception.
He got
applause. Yeah. He didn't really recognize it, though. He didn't take a moment.
When he went out for warm-ups, they had a thing on him with the Halo board.
Yeah.
He got a very, very nice reception. Deservedly so. We don't wish the man, like you said, Kat, we don't wish the man ill will.
But he didn't even lift his head up to, like, recognize. Maybe just he was so locked in. I don't know. He just didn't even.
You know, again, the knock on Miles and is that. He doesn't ever, and I don't think he's ever going to be a little bit extras. He's not the fan favorite. He's not the face or the voice of a franchise. That is not something he wants.
Well,
that is not something he's going to show up. Right. He's going to shut down the opposition on the pitch. He's going to go home, take his shower, live his life.
Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of people. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who may be a lot less understanding than say I am. And what I was just saying, there may be a lot of people out there who weren't happy about that at all, and they're pissed off that he left. You know, like it's like, dude, it's kind of like giving us the finger. I'm not going to go to Europe, so I'll go somewhere else and
frankly, take less money
and take less money and go play for a year somewhere else. Like, I don't know.
I'm not pissed off that he left. I'm pissed off that he left and we got nothing for him. If we knew he was leaving.
Like, it's not the same as Nagbe leaving. Mm-hmm. Nagbe had like 16. He had a laundry list of very, very good reasons. And I was still jealous of that he got to go somewhere and we had to give him up. But that was his choice. And he had 16 perfectly legitimate reasons. Miles, his were.
I think the Miles thing gets in my craw because Miles,
selfish reasons.
In your craw?
Yes, in my craw. Yeah, it's like getting.
Is this a southern? Is this a southern thing?
Yeah, it's getting in between,
like the jaw of a crow or like a bird. It's like the craw, like it's like a jaggedy open mouth thing.
It's in the.
Oh, I know what it is, but I just never heard that in terminology before. So I'm sorry for interrupting you. I needed to process that in my mind for like 10 seconds before we continue with anything productive. So continue.
To be fair, the first time she said it, I thought she was about to say crotch. So it's.
So did I. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, it's not just my dirty mind.
No. I have dirty mind too.
It really gets me in the crotch. Let me tell you about Miles Robinson and his 1 year contract. Just gets me in the crotch every damn time.
Every time.
Now I don't remember at all what I was going to say. It was actually a really good idea.
Sorry.
It's probably for the best. I think we've gone long enough. Number five.
I think it was the Miles craw.
The Miles crotch. Okay.
Miles gets in your crotch.
I remember now. The thing that gets in my craw about Miles is this way, if Glenn edits, then, you know,
I'm not editing anything. This is all awesome.
Okay. The way Miles, what?
The thing that upsets me about Miles, right? Uh-huh. It's not that it's that he is seemingly the first, like, Atlanta United guy, like our first, you know, one of our first draft picks, blah, 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 that wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Joseph actually wanted to leave.
It hurts different. It hurts different when someone chooses someone else over you.
You know, Julian Gressel didn't want to leave. We didn't want to pay him.
I got it.
Like George Bello went to Europe.
That was when he wanted it. He wanted.
I know. I'm saying.
That was a little bit different too. You can understand a player's desire to go to Europe.
And Miggy,
this
obviously.
Hurts
yeah. Yeah. No, this does. Miles, because it felt a little. Maybe was it a little bit like
it
this?
Was? I feel like it was a little bit of a fuck you, Atlanta. Like it was like, nah, I don't want to be here. And I think
he said, if I can't go to Europe, I don't want to stay in Atlanta. That's kind of what it felt like.
That is exactly
they're
going to
give me
like
more money. And that's
it's a little more circumstantial than that. He still wants to go to Europe. If we had offered him a 1-year deal, I think he would have taken it. We didn't. We didn't want to just do 1 year.
Yeah.
He went to Cincinnati. Good on the front office for that. I agree with that. So it's not entirely like we could have made it work. I think this is the better choice of the front office. Mm-hmm. So there's a little more to it, but I understand the feeling. It is different than how we've lost other players. And it does feel a little bit like.
And I will say the people that we have now, I know that we're working on things, but the people that we do have the potential to have in Derek Williams and Gregerson and Abram, the people that we have in place of that.
It's not.
I think he's been replaced with people who want to be here too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that as well.
Yeah, I think we got a whole host of players that are playing for the badge.
I'd rather have the people that play for the badge than the ones that don't. And, you know, we knew that Miles leaving was a potential. We didn't think it was going to go down like this. And I think that was the other part of it. I think it was a little bit of a surprise, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So, hey, Jennifer, I like what you said.
You did forget someone that did want to leave Atlanta United.
And did.
Barco?
Who did want to leave.
Oh, yeah. Barco. Yeah. Barco.
Well, no, just... no.
No? Someone else?
PT?
Yeah. Andrew Carleton wanted to go to Washington.
Better late than never. Andrew Carleton has suddenly been popping back up on social media, being a little bit more.
Wow. I saw that. That's what made me think of it.
He's all of a sudden getting a little more active on the socials. Mommy and daddy gave him his
Insta account back after he got arrested.
Is it Proof Social? Well, is he on that one?
No. It's on the normals. It's Twitter and Insta and anytime he posts anything, people are just lighting him up. So maybe stop.
Yeah, maybe just stop. Yeah.
Especially while your brother still has, hopefully, a future, hope, and that's unfortunate. All right, I think that kind of about does it. Number five isn't much, in except that we have to stop writing this story immediately. We can't put another chapter in the book of like just brain fart goals. That was the story last season. We cannot do that this year. We've already dropped 5 points at home.
We thought by firming up some of the people in the back line by getting some consistency in the back that we would stop. And now we don't have consistency in the back line again, too.
But it will not shock me at the end of the season, at least on the East, if 5 points is the difference between first and fourth.
Oh, no.
Like a 5-point spread between those. And these 5 points we've dropped at home are going to be massive. And the only way we can correct that now is to get that on the road. Like, we have to overperform our road performance, which shouldn't be that hard to do since it's so bad. But we've got to make those points up on the road now. We have to. That's the only way to do it.
So we have Chicago next on the road.
Yeah, who just got hit for four.
Frankly, and just as desperate as we are right now to right their ship and save their season.
That's what I'm saying. You could look at Chicago's match next week one of two ways. One, they're just terrible and they're just a dumpster fire and they're just going to capitulate. Two, they've been embarrassed at home and they're going to look to do something against us. And for some reason, we have terrible experiences in Chicago away routinely. I don't know why, but this is probably maybe not a great time to go play them, because I think they feel really embarrassed by this performance they did this weekend, getting hit for four, and they're not going to do that again.
Well, we hit them for three the last time. So maybe if we have, we had Gigi and we had Zonde back for some really, I think, decent minutes for a good half an hour.
Your lips to God's ears.
I'm telling you. So, you know, maybe we come out with a pretty strong contingent next week. And
maybe we hit them right in the craw.
Right in the craw.
Right in the craw.
Again, it really sounds like you're going to say crotch the entire time. So I'd like to. I'd like to hit Chicago right in the crotch.
All right.
I'm just going to say the whole word because that's what you really want to say anyway.
You know what always gets a laugh, Kat? You know what always gets a laugh?
What?
Hitting somebody in the crotch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Let's have some laughs next week. I am tired of being stressed out. Yeah. I am tired of going home all like sore and angry because we just do these stupid things.
So we need a couple of very swift, stern penis punches.
Yes, right to the crotch. No holds barred.
I'm going
to
leave now.
They're not women out there. Yeah. They're not women out there, guys. Sorry. They're going to have to be dick punches. Just right. Squar to the nuts.
Damn.
Has to happen that way.
That's a perfect way to end this episode. All right.
I think if a cat chooses violence, you know that's the end of the night.
We will be back next week to discuss all of the crotch hits.
Glenn, can I just add one thing real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
I've been listening to the three of you, and it's nice to hear like different people and like their perspectives of everything.
Thank you.
And everything that you've been saying about like things continuously happening since Pineda's come here, right? You've blown leads. You've had slow starts. You've had bad substitutions. You know, these individual plays that just get historically bad at points. Like, this is all has been happening, and it hasn't gotten better. I want to say that this season, at least so far, a lot of it did get better, but now you've regressed. Now you've gone back to two of those things, and the big one, you still haven't won on the road. You still haven't gotten 3 points on the road. So the Chicago game, I think, is bigger than what it probably should be for someone like Pineda.
Pretty pivotal, sure.
Yeah, but like the schedule doesn't get easier for this team, and especially, you know, road matches. So when you get points, like, well, I understand. Yeah, they just got destroyed 4-0. I think this game is huge for Pineda, going forward. But they got to win. They need to win convincingly, because they should be scoring a lot more goals. A lot of it is on the players. Like last week, you could have had 3 goals after you allowed those first two against. The last two against Philly, you had 3 high scoring chances with Saba, Mayumba, and Omada, and you didn't get any of them. So don't blame Pineda. They're getting in the right spots. They're just not finishing.
I
argued against myself. I said it was Pineda, then I said it was the players. Damn it. End the show.
But that's what happens. That's why we do this, is because there's in this case, there are 4 different opinions. There's 4 different observances. There's 4 different, you know, sometimes it evolves, you know, like
very Jekyll and Hyde take.
It happens though. You could, you know, you're allowed to change your mind.
All right, y'all. Thank you for listening to the 4 or 5 opinions that we've had on tonight with the split personality.
Hey, alter ego of Tommy. Also, thank you for sharing your opinions on our various and sundry social forums, because it's made for a lot of really interesting banter back and forth. Keep it up. Yep. We love seeing
it. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, y'all, for
And thank you for supporting, like, all the outlets. Thank you for supporting Scarves and Spikes. Thank you for supporting ATL on Fire. Like, everybody. 5-Stripe Final, like, 92.9, the AJC, Doug Roberson's conversations that he posts on Twitter, and his pod that he does. Thank you for supporting it all. We have a unique thing here in Atlanta that really is different than where everyone else goes. Go to other markets, go to away matches if you can, and see if you have this same type of coverage. It's not normal in MLS. I hope it becomes more normal. I hope we do keep talking about this, and more markets do more of this type of thing. It's important, but don't take for granted what we got here. It's pretty unique. It's pretty dope. All right, y'all. We will be back next week to talk about crotch hits with Chicago, which we are sure to win. Until then, y'all be good. We will be back.
And good night. And good night, Olivia, Meredith, and Benjamin. Those are Taylor Swift's cats. Oh.
We were talking about stalkers like before. Well, I guess, you know, like everyone's a Taylor Swift stalker. So.
Oh, we're all tortured poets.